Welcome to Time Bender Talks, the ultimate destination for professional photographers. This weekly podcast is hosted by Peggy MacArthur, a certified professional photographer with over 30 years' experience and the creator of the Headshot Strategist Certification Program. Peggy interviews a diverse range of experts in business, branding, marketing, networking, and photography. So whether you've been doing this for years or you're just starting out, we've got you covered. Oh, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out on our latest episodes filled with tips, insights, and lots of fun.
Gwendolyn, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. You just don't even know. First of all, this podcast covers business and, you know, marketing and networking and all the things. But as a photographer, we all know that this is our favorite subject to talk about is just being a photographer. So the fact that you are an amazing photographer is just so exciting to me. So introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and where you're at on your photography journey.
All right. Well, my name is Gwendolyn, G.R. Houston Jag. People call me G. I have a 11-year photography business. It is G Photography by G. We're located in Arlington, Texas, and we focus on family portraits. And because of that, we follow a family through the journey. We also do headshots and senior sessions.
Awesome. Awesome. So what is it that you're passionate about? Like I got my first camera when I was 9. Oh. And I've always been passionate about people. Like I love to take pictures of people. My sister does like butterflies and flowers and, you know, I love people. So what is it that you're passionate about?
Oh, well, let's be honest. So we're a memory hoarder. I'm gonna go ahead and start there. I still have my 110 pink Pixie that I got as a Christmas gift. I want to say age 10 or 11. I also have the original photos and the negatives. I have them as well. So I've always had this want, need, and love to capture the world around me and particularly focus on family memories. That's been the biggest one. So I started carrying my camera at that age. I took it through junior high school, college. And then when it went to digital, I was like, digital? What's digital? That's not real art. That's not real photography. You gotta have film. And then when I realized I could do some fun things with digital, I was like, well, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's okay. So as I have come into my own with my own family, then the message really clarified for me, if you will. We went from just taking the family photos and memories to really celebrating the family you have. Because, you know, we are not one size fits all. And as a woman who has watched her nieces, go through like that whole beauty standard thing, seeing yourself on the wall and being reminded of how wonderful you are as an individual, those family photos come into play because they're like your most memorable, fun moments when you were just beaming and shining. And so that's part of my message, is to capture the moment as you are, where you are, versus waiting for perfect moments, and really celebrate the family you have. So, you know, as you get older, supposedly you get wiser or something like that.
I love that. And I think for me, you know, I came up in the film and then, you know, switched to digital. So I used to print, even when I was digital, I printed proofs for many years before I went fully digital to online proofing. But that used to be my, like, that was my bar of excellence, is if I can make people cry. Like when they look at their proofs and they'd be like tearing up, like, oh, you know? And I loved, and I think I missed that, like not proofing in person like I used to, because my clientele, I work a lot with actors. So my clientele is different. They have like a real objective. Mm-hmm. It's a real, like, do these represent what I need, you know, more than like, oh, you know, when I was doing portraits and family stuff. But I love to show people their beauty that sometimes they didn't even realize they had. And I'm sure you know what I mean. Like that moment when they're like, I don't look like this. What did you do? And it's like, no, that's you. You're a rock star.
I want to say, I could have sworn Richard Avedon talked about when you're working with people and creating their portraits and you're just talking to them, right? You talk to them and you kind of click the camera as you're having this conversation, you are really getting a glimpse into their soul. So I know for me, when I would do the individual portraits, I just have them talk. You know, kind of warm up a little bit, play a little music, got a little cocktails, a little nibble here and there, but we're just talking, just having this free flowing conversation, snapping as they're talking. And in the midst of that, we are capturing them as themselves. And then when we do the presentation, they really are like, wait, that's me? What? Yeah, that's you. Even with headshots, they're like, wait, that's my headshot? Yes. Even a headshot can bring out your essence. Yes. But it's a different kind of satisfaction. I actually say it's just joy. Mm-hmm. So I consider myself the Arlington photographer that delivers joy, because it's not about the photos per se, but the moment of creating those. And then to see it afterwards, you have this memory that's attached to this experience that just brings back like these really big smiles. You're like, how did you do that? I didn't do anything. Okay, well, maybe a little bit of something, but it really wasn't me, right? Like it's me giving you this safe space to just be whoever you are and not be judged and just be, which, you know, sometimes with the way that photography and visual images can impact our life, it's a little harder, right? It can be easier said than done.
Well, I think that, you know, my superpower is putting people at ease and allowing them to let their personality shine. And I think that's probably most photographers' superpower, mm-hmm. is we're able to connect. I used to be a really shy person. Like by nature, I'm just fine in the corner by myself.
Right.
But, you know, when I have that camera in my hand, like I can run an event of 500 people, you know, and I can, you know, I'm there, I'm, and that's actually how I kind of got out of my shyness, if mm-hmm. you will, is even without my camera, I would be like, okay, if I was doing this event, well, how would I talk to people? And, you know, really kind of making myself step out of that. But it's just giving people that safe place, because the job of the camera is to capture the personality, the essence of a person. It's yes. going to. Mm-hmm. That's why when people say, oh, I hate getting my portraits taken, I always look so weird. It's like, well, it's because mm-hmm. you're sitting there thinking, oh my God, is my hair okay? Do I look right. fat? Is my eye going to do that weird thing? I hope, you know. And that's what the camera is capturing, is all your insecurities. But
yes.
but when you get in there with them and you're like, tell me about this. Oh, do you have a dog? Ha ha ha. Did you know, all the things that, you know, it's funny because I have these long, deep conversations with my clients. And as soon as they leave, it's just like, I have no idea. Sometimes my husband will say, I really heard you guys laughing and giggling in there. Right. What are you guys talking about? And I'm like, I don't remember.
Like, you could get so deep in the conversation.
I was working.
You're right. We're so deep in the conversation. I was like, what are we talking about again? I don't remember. I think I do. And like something will come back. But you're right. A lot of us, take it back. Not a lot of us, because that's, I mean, I am and will always be a back of the classroom kid. Okay. That's how I worked. I was the smartest in that group, but I'm still back in the classroom, so I don't have to be up front. I'm good. So I get the idea of being like alone, and it's okay. That's why a lot of us love that 7200. That's a really nice distance there. It's like, I got you just fine. You stay right where you are. right? I love it. But at the exact same time, like you, the more I did it, you know, people equate taking photos going to the dentist. And we know how we love going to the dentist. It's like, really? I don't think I need to go. It's like, no, you really need to go. So it's really not that bad. It really isn't, provided you have someone that creates that environment for you, right? That makes it a safe space. Because like you said, people immediately go into all the things that aren't right.
They have all their insecurities and they don't want to see those.
Right. It's like, no, it's like, well, I don't photograph well and I don't do this and I don't have, and this is this. It's like, cut it out, cut it out. I remind people that, and I say this often, you know, we are individuals that are beautifully and wonderfully made. And we are here to celebrate what makes you, you. So we're not going to do any morphing, right? We're not going to do any adjusting. I mean, technically, we're all mutants. If you really get into the science part of it, we are all mutants. And you must love it. Like, I know I have this one wonky eye. Like, when I take photos, this eye right here is always kind of closed.
If I smile, I lose, right? I lose my eye completely. I don't even have an eye.
Right. I mean, we just look like we are equal and like perfect. No, we're all a little lopsided. We're all a little lopsided. Enjoy that lopsidedness. Let's go ahead and celebrate it. So if you get the right photographer that creates that space for you and really talks to you and makes that connection, your photos are going to be beautiful, like hands down. Like there's hands down guaranteed they are going to be gorgeous, hands down.
Absolutely. Now, I know that, like, for me, I think that the power of photography is just so, like, if you think about the fact that we capture time, you know, we capture this, you know, and allow people, and at 200 years, somebody's going to see an image that we took. You know what I mean? And that's great, great grandma or whatever. And they're going to love everything about it. They're not going to worry if they had a wonky eye or if they were a little chubby or whatever the weird thing is that we're self-conscious about. No one else. They're just going to be so happy to have that image and, you know, to have that and just to be able to capture these moments. And you and I both know that, you know, time goes fast. Yeah. And if you don't capture it, you always regret it. You never regret taking that, you know. And yes, there's something to be said about the skills that a professional photographer has. Yeah. We do understand lighting. We do understand camera angles. We are going to, you know, do our little tricks to make you bring the best out of you. But the most important thing is that it's you. And, you know, I kind of think that low key, that's part of my job is to show my clients how beautiful they are and to help them really find that beauty in themselves. And that's kind of a fun way that I get to show them, you know, all of their coolness. And let's talk about, we live in a digital driven world. Your picture, your profile picture that G took or that I took, that's your first impression on people.
Very.
That's like, it's not just something that should be thrown away. It's like a big deal. Like we have a pretty important job.
Yeah.
So you're like me.
It's almost everything. The image is almost, but it does. So if I may go down that rabbit hole real quick about like headshots and stuff. So I take a lot of photos. So yes, I may have the one wonky eye, but I am always in front of the camera. Always. I'm like, pose. Yeah. So I'm always in front of the camera. It's like me and the wonky eye. We are out there. We're doing it. So I discovered this website called Photo Feeler. I'd never heard of it. It was recommended to me to see about the trustworthiness of my image. And I thought, well, I'm pretty trustworthy and I'm kind of cute. Okay, I'm really cute. I'm kind of cute and likable, so why not? So you upload the photo and it has random people measure you on, do you appear to be an expert? Are you likable? And do you have influence? Like this is all based on image. Right? Wow. And I thought to myself, oh, buddy, Gwendolyn loves a good like test, right? Like a good like survey test. So I uploaded my latest shot that I like, because you know how photographers are. Like, this is the best shot. Your client's like, oh, that's nothing. But that one, you're like, but that's like, that's not even the best shot. So you know how we feel about our images. So I put it in And one of the first round of tests, I was low on the likable scale. I just about screamed. I said, I know good and darn well I am likable. I know this image screams likable. But it was early. So I went back because it says, hey, come check your test. I scored high in all the areas. I was like, okay, great. So this image is conveying that I am influential and that I'm an expert in my fields and that I am likable.
So that's very, very cool because I have a program called the Headshot Strategist that I now teach photographers, but like how it started was because I worked with actors, like actors would come in and we would put a lot of time and effort into, I need to look like a banker. I need to look like a fun dad. I need to look like an attorney, whatever it is. And we put a lot of work in it to make that headshot portray that character type, right? Because that's the casting director's looking at thousands of images and that one picture has to pop for them to get an audition. So, you know, I studied like for years, I like dived into what makes a headshot effective, what makes a headshot look likable and all these things. And then what I noticed was I would have an actual attorney come in and be like, cheese. And I was like, no, we're missing something here. And so I started applying that to, you know, my corporate headshots. Mm-hmm. And it was just something I did in the studio, you know, with, you know, you come into the studio, we kind of talked about it and I kind of tried to, you know, get who are your ideal clients? What do they need to know about you kind of things, right? Then the pandemic hit and I got grounded. And instead of losing my mind of boredom, I found myself on Clubhouse doing consultations and talking about headshots and different things with, I was in this group of casting directors and we would like look at people's headshots and critique them. And then I was doing some conferences on business conferences and somebody said, you're the headshot strategist. You should register that. And if, if I didn't roll my eyes and I was rolling my eyes in my mind, I was like, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard of. And then I thought, you know what? Actually, I am. That's what I do. Yeah. And so I made a standalone program that I do with my clients before they come in. Mm. But this is all revolutionary to me. There is an app that will look at and critique your headshots. I'm going to be putting some stuff in.
They have people. You can pay, but you can just get karma points by looking at other people's photos. And you get to rank them. And I do believe, you know, like if you watch enough photos, you can find, like, I believe the test shot. Mm-hmm. It's like, this photo is so bad. Clearly, this cannot be someone's real photo. Like, this is that sort of litmus test, right? It's like, I'm going to throw this in. And if she scores all high, then I know that she's lying, right? Because it's like, this is like the worst photo. Background, lighting. No facial expression. I mean, it's awful. So I'm like, no. Right. And then you see others, you're like, is this legit? Like, is this somebody's real photo? But you can do business. You can upload one for, like, if you're going to do a dating site, which I have to tell you, I haven't done it because I don't have the patience. I'm not going to lie about it. Some things are not my ministry, but I really did think at one point that I should just offer a photo package for dating apps, both in getting you a photo and writing the profile. Because I have to admit, my previous life, you know, I traveled a great deal. And so trying to have a relationship, okay, clearly the bar is not it. So it's not happening. So we go online and my goodness, whoa, the images, awful, downright awful. The writing, horrendous. I was like, are you guys trying to meet somebody? Or like who wrote this for you? Because like, really
funny.
We didn't do it, but I do believe, no, I can tell you that's clearly a place where many of us can make an extra buck.
A lot of photographers I know say they have a lot of people coming in for dating site stuff. Now, I know like 10, 12 years ago when it was just really starting up, I remember I had this guy come in and he was like super photogenic, but not a very attractive person in person. I'll tell you, I felt a bit guilty how good his images turned out. I was like, somebody's going to swipe right on that and they're going to meet and they're going to be like, what happened? He did not catfish you. He's just very photogenic.
I mean, you know, I did have one guy who tried to catfish me. I'm not going to lie about that. And I just about had a conniption. I am not that person. I am not that person. So, you know,
I'm married. And so I'm like, thank God off the dating sites for like 9 years now. But, you know, I remember my thought was put out your average stuff and then let your first impression be like when you meet in person, be better than what they expected. But I don't think that was everybody's idea on those apps.
No, people were doing the most, it was the mixture. I mean, I admit, so I modeled for all of 6 months when I first moved to New York City. It's a job and Gwendolyn's a slacker. So I thought, nope, not doing it. I could be behind the camera, but like the in front of, not so much. And then fast forward into my adult life, we did more on-camera stuff and some behind-the-camera stuff. So yes, my photos did not look like people who just use a cell phone. Well, why would I do that? Hello, image, hello. So I would get all kinds of ridiculous comments like, is this real? Are you a unicorn? And I was like, what in the world? Now, I have to say, I did meet my husband on a dating site, right? We're 6 years in, married, 7 as a couple. So it is possible, okay?
Right.
But I had to go through a lot of tomfoolery. And my images was the one that created. I was like, but I'm a photographer. Like, but I have a bad image on a dating site? Seriously, kid? Like,
I know. That's like, crazy. No,
why would I have a bad shot? I mean, I'm thinking, it's like, do I know any photographers who have a bad headshot? I'm trying to think. It's like, no, I don't know if I know any. I can't imagine. I'm really like, wait, do I have any? Because I do. I mean, like, surely you and I both know some photographers who hate getting their picture taken.
I hate getting my picture taken. I do. I hate it. But really? I'm on camera all the time now. I'm on camera. I'm sitting here. I have an online course. I do classroom. You know, I mean, our office hours, like I'm on Zoom more than I'm in front of behind the camera anymore. But yeah, I do hate getting
really taken. I would much rather
be taking everyone else's picture than getting mine taken.
No, 100. I am depending on my mood. So full disclosure, as a photographer, I am very protective of my image. So I can think of at least 5 photographers I have felt comfortable with having them take my picture. That's how particular. I'm not like a bridezilla. I was not that person.
I was about to ask you. So you've recently got married. I recently got married. How was that? How was that hiring a wedding photographer?
It was okay. So I'm a retired runner. I don't run like I used to, but I was part of a running club and one of the other runners was a videographer. He is a videographer and a photographer. And I love his video. He does this great drone footage. I was like, Corey, you have to like come record my wedding, hands down. So he did our engagement photos, but I was following his art on Instagram. So I love the way that he captured people, loves his lighting style. So he did our engagement photos. He brought in another photographer for the wedding photos, which for me, I wasn't concerned about. My deal was the wedding video.
Uh-huh.
But big picture, the husband was more the we must have. I was thinking BYOB in the backyard somewhere, let's call it a day. Like that was not my thing. He wanted the candy table. He wanted the cake with this. He wanted blah, blah, blah. I was like, what's going on here? So we were reversed in the traditional roles.
You and I are the same. You are, I like, are the same.
We had this, and be done.
We had this huge wedding and I was like looking around and my friends are like, we all know you had nothing to do with this. And I said, I had nothing to do with this.
No, I was clear. I was like, well, you know, Gwendolyn, it's your wedding. You're not going to get a chance to eat. I was like, I am paying for this party. I am going to eat. So I had the wedding dress. I admit that I had the wedding dress. We did photos with the guests. And I was like, great, I'm done. I'm getting out of this wedding dress because I am going to eat, dance, and drink. I pay for this party. I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm that bride.
So,
I love my wedding video. I watch it every September, and then maybe another 3 or 4 times throughout the year. Yeah.
So we actually talked to several wedding photographers, and I learned a lot about other photographers. I was like,
eye opening.
Well, this was before I started like working, helping photographers run their business. And boy, do I have stories about why I didn't hire some of those photographers. But I found a guy, he's an older guy. He came up kind of like, you know, me with film, and, you know, his dad was a photographer, second generation. His style was real similar to mine.
Okay.
This is the first time I've ever hired a photographer in my life. And I was like, I told him, I was like, listen, I'm hiring you. I am trusting you. This is your job. Like, so don't mess it up, buddy. And he did a great job. There's a couple of shots he didn't get that I wished he had, but
yeah,
that's life. Like, that's how things work. But here's something that I still to this day laugh about. I've did weddings for 27 years.
Really?
And I used to take the bride and the groom during the reception to every table and take a table shot. And the brides loved that. And I told him, I said, I really want that. And he said, no. And I was like,
he said, not happening, Captain.
He's like, I'm going to bring every table up to you, and your table won't be messy, and the pictures will be more clean. And I was like, 27 years of doing weddings, and I never thought to let the bride set and bring people to her. Like, never once thought of that. No.
Yeah, that's actually very smart.
I was like, anyway, so he did. We sat there, we'd eat, people would come to us. It was never thought of that. So I thought that was really, really hilarious that it took me getting married to get that little wedding tip.
But here's the deal. Okay, so if I may, the cool thing about watching other photographers work and operate is that we can always learn something new. And that's the great thing about interacting, connecting, and working with other creatives. I don't care if you're older or younger, I know there is something I can learn from somebody.
Absolutely.
Right? Either typically something I could adjust or add into my workflow, or maybe something I'm never going to do because I'm thinking, wow, that's different. But, you know, we are each our own individual in terms of running a business. So I never question it. I only had the one because I followed his art and I fell in love. Like, so even when I'm out and about, I'm like, oh my God, you should hire Corey. Corey's great. I'm like, but aren't you a photographer? I said, yeah, but not like Corey. You know, but here's the deal. I have no problem shouting out other artists. I have no issues sharing the stage with other photographers. We all have our own way of creating art, our own creative voice. People who hire me, I do believe that my work is, I think it's decent. I think it's nice. I think it's like right here in the middle. We are not doing like this extravagant fairy tale fairies and feathers and no, nope. But it is very nice. It brings back memories. Most of my reviews speak on the experience with Gwendolyn. Like, oh my God, we had so much fun. Da, da, da. Oh, and the photos are nice too. Yeah. You know what
no.
I mean?
Like,
so it depends.
I've seen your work and you do gorgeous work, but I get it.
There's it's no lines.
We all have different, I live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and it blows my mind every time when photographers act like we're competition. I'm like, there are 4 million people here. 4 million people. There are probably 1,000 photographers that are, you know, high end, high level photographers. Yes. 1,000. 4 million people to cover. It's like, I don't want to work with people that aren't my clients. I don't get along. Like, I have my own personality. And if right. you don't like me, right. I sure don't want to get stuck in a studio with you for an hour, or heaven forbid, 2 hours, because yeah. you're like, we're not getting anything, because I'm just like pulling teeth because you don't like me. And I know that, and I don't like you, and I'm trying to get cool stuff out of you. No, you know what? I have a friend down the street. He's awesome. You should go see him. I think you guys will get along great.
We've always said in my previous job, we had a thing that said there's enough pie for everybody, and everybody wants more pie, right? Everybody wants more pie. So if you just take down the categories of photographers, newborns, not my ministry, weddings, not happening, Captain. So there are all of these different areas of photography, like events. It's got to be a good day for me to get out and do an event. And I mean that. Like a really good day. Like I'm feeling like top of the world, a really good day. So we don't all do the same thing. So that's one. People think, you're a photographer. Great. Prime example. And I love sharing the story about networking. I was in a LinkedIn event, and there were people in the comments, and you know, I'm like, hey, we're all here. Hey, you're a photographer, and you're also in Texas. We're neighbors. Okay. So yeah. you know, I mean, it's a Texan thing. I mean, you could be 4 hours up the road, but that's like up the road. It's like we're neighbors. So we connect. We meet up in a mutual spot to have lunch. We share like you know, our photography history and what we're working on, yada, yada, yada. Last December comes up. This guy emails me. He actually calls first and says, hey, I need photos for my website. I sell bread. And I need photos of my bread for my website. And I thought, there's not a loaf of bread on my website. Like, not one loaf, right? I don't do product photography. Could I do it? Well, I learned about it, but it's not my ministry. I immediately think of Patty. She does amazing work for product photography. 3D, the whole nine yards. So I call him back. I said, I'm going to send you her info because that's who you need to get this project done right. I also let her know, hey, I'm sending this guy to you. Here's his number. You can reach out to him, but this is you. He needs you because I don't do bread. I do people, not even gingerbread people. I do real people. So fast forward a month, she got the job. She got the project. He's happy as a clam at high tide. And she's like, thank you for sending him my way. But that's the point of networking, right? It's not just mm-hmm. to like take from someone else. It is to truly create a connection, break bread, have a cocktail, I don't know, tea, but get to know people. And for me, I look for a network not to, I don't know, loaf off of others. But if I know that we have the same energy, right? If there's anything I can do to send work your way, I am going to do it. So because I took time to meet her, talk with her, get to see her art, and get to be in her energy, I thought, oh, she'll take care of this guy for sure. It'll be great.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's the whole point of networking. It's not just to get followers or whatever else. It is truly, if I can't get the job, I want someone else in my circle to get that job.
And what photographers need to understand is if we pull each other up, we're raising the bar for our industry. If we're tearing each other down, cutting each other down, undercutting each other's prices, we are lowering the yes. bar for the entire industry. Yes. So it makes a lot more sense for me to say, hey, you know, come on up here. Let me help you in this area. Come on up here. Let me help you in this area. And then someone up here is going to pull me up and help right. me up there. And we're just going to keep growing and raising the bar, because let's be honest, Uncle Joe has a camera and he's out there shooting weddings for $500. Oh. What is What is the difference between a professional and Uncle Joe? Let's make that line really clear.
Yes. And it's funny you say that, because there is always somewhere in my consultation conversation. They're like, and how much is this? And how much, and who? My cousin can do that. My so-and-so has a camera. And here's the deal. I appreciate that. I really do. And I will tell you this. I have told people sometimes, depending on how long they're on the phone with me, I say, look, here's your solution to the problem. I had a gentleman who called for headshots and he needed one picture. Well, I don't care if it's one or it's 14. If I get out of my bed, the price is the price. Okay. Because that's not going to change. Okay. So I gave him the price of the headshot. And he thought, oh my God. I said, but if you just need one for the company directory, here's what you do. You go get a white sheet of paper, poster board, whatever, right? A good clean wall. And you take a picture on that. You ask them what the color is so that you can go into Adobe Photoshop Express or whatever, pop in that little background color, and there's your shot. I said, you have a cell phone. A lot of these cell phones do really nice high-res images for what they're going to do for a directory. That's all you have to do. And he was like, that's a good idea. Thank you. Now, somebody would say, but you just lost the money. No,
you didn't have that money. It wasn't your money.
Right. It wasn't my money. But more importantly, even if I didn't have him as a customer, that trust that you build from still giving a solution, that you put in the bank. Because now he knows if I call G for talking by G,
she's not going to steal from me.
Exactly. So it's not
and
always.
You don't know who he's going to send you. You don't know what he's going to need in 6 months. And remember, exactly. Like, you know what? If she can do this, she'll give me a fair price. It may be expensive, but it'll be a fair price.
You got to put those deposits in. I always told people, when people think about giving someone a solution, we always think immediately of what's tangible. We forget that giving really good information is also a solution, i.e., I don't have what you need, but this person does. Or you should go do blah, 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 get the same results, save yourself some time and money, yada, yada, yada. Because I'm going to ask what your budget is. And the people I don't know at this point, I don't know any shooting burners. I don't know any. I've been in it 11 years. I have friends who were doing things on the commercial side. So, I mean, will I ever get there? Probably not. I'm not really one for commercial. I like to sit and talk and hobnob with the people. Right. I'm going to bring out the nibbles. I'm going to bring out, if it's adults, a little cocktail, if they want a cocktail. I mean, I don't know, but you know, some people like mimosas in the morning. Okay. I got you. You are my people. Come on over. Let's make some photos. Right. So we do that. But at this point, I don't know any shooting burners, but when someone says my budget is $150, or I just want one shot of this particular, you know, like outfit, I'm like, use your cell phone. Really? Because you have, as they call, portrait mode, right? Use that and get all the prettiness that you want. But the people that I'm working with, I would never say, oh yeah, call Sally Sue. She'll look you up for $150. No way. Not even happening. No, not going to do it. Not doing that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. So you're kind of like me. You fell in love with the camera really young.
Yes.
So when was it that you decided, you know what, I can take my passion and make it my career?
Oh, I know the defining moment. I'm going to make it real short. Okay, so you know how you believe you fell in love? Okay, so I thought I fell in love in 2008. And then the guy I thought I loved, I moved back to Texas in 2009 because I was in New York City. He was in Richardson. It just made it easy because the cost of living. Okay. And I got here in 2009 and he ghosted me. Oh, okay. That's great, Gwendolyn. Yeah. So now we are underemployed, but I have my camera and I thought, okay, well, let me go make a little extra money by taking photos of people. I was shooting burner then. I had no idea what I was doing. And then I realized, okay, well, this is tiring for the amount that I'm bringing in. Cause somebody said, oh yeah, you should give somebody 100 photos for like $50. I don't know where I got that bad advice from. So
really bad advice.
I know, right? It's like, this is craziness. But as I got into it, my cousin is a photographer in the LA area. And so my mother, we had always had a photographer in our family, Mr. Gary. He did all the photos, birthdays, graduations, reunions. And so we did this birthday party. My mother was like, these are really great images. I said, oh, really? She's like, I'll just hire you. And I thought, okay. So the reunion comes up and I've got my first set of lights. Not clearly, these are not pro photo, right? Because we're still doing that kind of thing. But there were lights, and light is light. Okay. Light is light. So my cousin comes in. He's like, this is a hobby? I've got three lights working. I've got the backdrop and the whole nine yards. And he says, Gwendolyn, you have a really good eye. You should consider being someone's apprentice, maybe going to school, but this has promise. And I said, really? And he's like, yeah. That was 2012. So I decided then this is going to be my next chapter when I retire from my first love. And I love retail. I love it. I love retail. So we stepped away from that and we stepped right into, so I was managing the two for a hot minute before we went our way. So yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. The point is you had an eye and you got training.
Yeah. We did. We went official.
That's the key. I mean, my hand surgeon was a gifted surgeon, but had he not had training, I would not have wanted him to do surgery on my hand. You know? You can have all the passion and all the pure talent that you want, but that training is really key.
It is. Now, I have to admit, I mean, I am slightly biased. So my previous life in retail, I created training programs and wrote training. And then for a brief stint of time, I taught at the State University of New York City at Fashion Institute of Technology. So we are a professor, right? So I am wholeheartedly about education. I am. So taking on this role of being a photographer, I was hands down, okay, you know, YouTube is great. And I'm not knocking YouTube.
Nope.
Not at all. It has a place. Everything has a place. But I also know for me, if this was going to be a true career in a business, I needed not only the photography skill and understanding, but the business skill and understanding. So I took what I knew from my retail job, because I had done it long enough. I mean, I'm doing the marketing plans and writing out the campaigns and, you know, like we have that. But then I also thought, okay, but it's a small business. There are some things that are the same. There are some that are not quite the same because I'm not as big, but there are some basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all that together, I said, okay, well, we need to get some education because just getting out here to sort of figure it out. I mean, I was doing 100 photos for $50. Clearly, that's not sustainable as a career. That can't put gas in your car, you know, depending on what you're driving. So, and where you're driving.
Especially now.
So you got to think, how do I get myself prepared to have a sustainable career? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, when they had the starving artist, and I'm a starving artist. Well, we're not starving artists, okay?
No.
I have things to do, bills to pay, and wine to put in the fridge. So I have needs. I got to take care of those
needs. There is no reason to, being a starving artist is not like a check mark. That's not like a crown you should wear. No. That's like a place that you should come out of. Like, I was a starving artist and then I learned some business skills and now I'm a badass, profitable business owner. You know, like I have a amazing photography business because I am not only a talented, skilled photographer, but I'm also just an amazing business person. That's what it should be. That right there.
If I had to think about some stereotypes when it comes to creatives, so I'm going to talk in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up stereotypes. A lot of us want to just focus on our art.
Absolutely.
And the art will sell itself. Well, no offense, people aren't buying the image. They're really not. They're buying you. They're buying your personality. They're buying your message. They're hiring you. So there is a place where you need to understand marketing, who you're talking to. You need to understand your books, know your numbers, know how to define your fiscal year, your quarterly goals. Like, you got to have, no, take it back. You don't have to have any of this. You don't have to do anything. You're grown. However, if you want to be around for a little bit, you might want to look at your bottom line, right? Like, just know what you're doing, because our equipment is not cheap, right? And every single
told my husband I need a new camera.
There's some new beautiful lens, some new latest, greatest gear. I have learned, and I tell people who do hit me up in the DMs and LinkedIn, like, hey, can I ask you a question? Sure, go ahead. I will talk. But I was always told, use your gear until you outgrow it, because it's not the gear, which is why I say light is light. Right? Light is light. If you know how to see light and use light, you can get the image you want with the tools you have, hands down, all the time. It's not like this Canon grew legs and took a picture. That's not how that happened. You know, people say, what camera are you using?
The point is, I'm using it.
Right? Right? You know, I mean, I'm sorry. So that cheesecake is that a Calphalon pan, or is that a Le Creuset pan? Because which one of them made it? That, you know, no, it's not the gear. It is you. It is you and your skill, right? So you use the gear you have until you outgrow the gear. But a lot of us, as creatives, again, stereotypes, right? I'm just saying it. We have this sort of thing about, I don't know how to sell. I don't understand sales. It's just having a conversation. But if you're not really focused on the person that you're serving, it becomes a really hard conversation. It's about you, right? It's kind of like going on a date. I love this example. I gave it for years in terms of selling. It's like going on a date, right? I just met you, Peggy. We just met and we're on our first date, even a meet and greet. And I'm like, Peggy, we should get married on Saturday. You're like, what? I didn't know who you are.
I don't think so.
No idea who you are. You have to talk to people, get to know people. They need to get to know you. That's not just a selling thing. Maybe you're realizing, you know, I like you as a person, but this relationship isn't really going to work. But we should just stay in touch, right? But a lot of us go from 0 to 60, or want to go 0 to 60, and like marry somebody. But no, why are you doing what you're doing? Like, what's your real reason? Yes, we're in business to make money, to put food on our table. Yes, but there's another why for what we do beyond getting paid, you know?
Yep, absolutely. You've got to build that relationship.
You got to build
relationships. And not only is it going to be easier to sell, because I mean, I sold you on being on my podcast. I sold you on like having a conversation with me beforehand. I was like, you're super cool. Can we talk? Can we be friends? And you were like, okay, calm down.
So you know what? We have been, you know, in this shift of the world, right? We have been in the shift of the world. And like a lot of people, there was this assumption that with the pandemic and the world stopping for a change, that we would realign our priorities and really think about each other, right? So for me at this point, nothing against virtual, but if I can meet somebody face to face, I want that genuine human connection. Seriously want, because we have done so, I mean, I have had my fair share of virtual classes. Woo, I'm over it, but got over it. So when I meet people in network, if I can do it face-to-face, I want to do it face-to-face versus, you know, now granted, you're in another state.
I mean, you can come anytime. Like, you know, we have an extra room, you bring your hubby, we'll like... Okay.
I'm good for a road trip. We are road trippers. I'll get in the car in a second, be like, that's Gwendolyn, right? Because we're empty nesters. We ain't got nothing but time. But at this point, you know, there has to be a place for most of us where you want to have this genuine connection, not only with others in your craft, but with your customers as well. And that relationship, that will far supersede anything that any person who's gone viral can talk about.
Yeah.
and always wins. That always wins.
Every time.
Every time.
So if you were to give advice to a photographer that was just wanting to start out, or they've been running their business for a while, but they haven't really, they were like I used to be. I used to think if I focus on the craft, the people will just come and buy my stuff. Not how it works.
No.
What is one tip that you would give photographers?
All right, one tip that covers everything, my phrase is exhaust the free, all right? So take advantage of all the free education resources. Take advantage of all the free business resources, and there are a lot of them, right? Take advantage of all the free marketing, networking events. Exhaust the free. Get everything you can get possible. Because in those pockets, you'll meet people and create a community and be part of a community. I would never try this alone. Entrepreneurship can be a very, I don't want to say lonely, but I'm going to say lonely. It can be a lonely journey. Now, as a person who is a runner, we run by ourselves, right? People who run marathons, I don't know, it's so highly overrated. But we are running, there are people around us, but we are running our own race. So we pace ourselves, right? Like our mindset is different. But if you're just getting started, or if you've been out there, exhaust the free. You've got the SBA, Small Business Administration, never announce an acronym and not say what it is, right? But they have free mentors. They have plenty of resources that are free for anyone creating a business before you go out and hire a coach, right? That's free. You got YouTube. You got YouTube and all these other educational resources. They have free things. Exhaust that free. Take all the free stuff. And then when you outgrow that free, then you can look at, okay, now how do I invest in XYZ here and XYZ there? But exhaust the free. Start with that first. And part of that, as you're going from place to place, like these networking events, then you can find your community. As a friend of mine says, your tribe is your vibe, right?
I love so that.
Find you a community that is uplifting, that matches your energy, that has that same abundance mindset, not a scarcity mindset, where they're trying to outdo each other. And I mean, there's birds of a feather flock together. They're people for everybody. God bless them. But yeah. I'm on the side of each one teach one to reach many, and your win is my win. So we can all win together. That's how I look at it.
And, you know, I love just exhaust the free, get out there and get involved and try stuff. Yeah. I mean, you talk about your little lights. When I first started, I had a big, like a stage lamp, turned down, and I had parchment paper over it because I couldn't afford, an Octobox. So I literally had parchment paper wrapped around it. But you know what? It worked. And then I bought more equipment, and then I bought more nicer equipment. And you know, but the thing is if you wait until you can get the fancy equipment, then what is that fancy equipment going to do for you? Learn with what you have and grow and do and ask questions. I'm going to do a shameless plug here because I am building a community of amazing photographers. And so if you go to my.timebender.world, you can join. It's very new, just starting and getting the momentum going. A community of amazing photographers that will talk to you and hang out, and we can encourage each other.
That's cool.
And eventually we're going to have monthly workshops and all sorts of stuff in there. But right now, just come and hang out. And I'm going to talk G into joining. So by the time we get this on the move, and I'm sure she'll let you pick her brain as well. But I could talk to you for hours. We have literally proven that already.
I know.
We could hang out forever. So I'm sure that you will be back on the podcast sometime soon. But thank you so much for giving us your time and your wisdom. I just so enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for having me. This was great. I'm going to look for that community because I am active in building connections. The more the merrier, you know, and when people of a like mind get together, we can change this world. Like
we can change
take
it.
Take this, man, move that needle. It doesn't have to be the way that it is. It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't. We absolutely can change it. I believe 100% that we can. And I believe that we can raise the bar of professional photographers and we can be a respected profession like we have been,
yes,
you know, all throughout time. Ever since they created a camera, it was like, whoa, you can do that? Yes, I can. So thank you so much. And I will see everyone else next Thursday.